Hello and welcome to my podcast on photography. My name is Ewan Bell. This series started life as a YouTube vlog, but you can now listen to each episode here as a podcast as well. If you would like to watch the YouTube version, just head to my website or search for me on YouTube. I love getting comments from listeners and especially love getting inspiration from your questions. Thanks for joining me today. Today, I want to talk about expedition cruise ships, a good way to see Japan if you're a photographer. I'm going to be sharing a whole bunch of pictures of Japan in this video and giving you a sense of what it's like when I was there for 12 days and got to do some photography for Heritage Expedition. I want you to see what the photographic opportunities are. My very first experience traveling to Japan 20 years ago was as a photographer on board an expedition cruise ship. I was shooting for the marketing team and I had a great experience and I fell in love with Japan. Since then, I have traveled around Japan a lot. My wife is an absolute fan of traveling Japan and the food and the people and the culture. We both really love it. My most recent experience traveling in Japan was with Heritage Expeditions. They run a small ship with the maximum of 140 passengers and I was crew on that ship. So when I talk about traveling around Japan on a ship, I'm not talking about something with 3,000 passengers. I'm talking about 140. And it's a little bit more intimate than some of those bigger ships. The major upsides to this way of traveling around Japan is that you do not have to unpack your bags every day. You put everything into your cabin and it stays there until the voyage is over. Every single morning, you wake up somewhere new, somewhere you haven't been before, and it's a whole new opportunity for something to shoot. Every single day, there's something that's worth shooting. And it's an expedition voyage and they have a schedule and they have places they want to get you to and things that they want to show you. And you just have to tag along. You just have to show up for breakfast, get to the bus and enjoy your day. Everywhere we go, we have local guides to help us as well as the expedition crew. It's actually a really good experience if you want the lazy way to see Japan. Not that lazy is necessarily the best way to get photos. Let's talk about some of the downsides when it comes to traveling on an expedition ship if you're a photographer. And the first one is you just can't be wherever you want to be whenever you want to be. You have a schedule. You have to be back on the ship by a certain time in the afternoon. You don't leave the ship until a certain time in the morning. There are procedures and you can't just do what you want all the time. And that's an obvious limitation. You also don't get to explore Japan at night because every single night you're back on the ship, that's where you have your meals in the evening and that's where you spend the night. So you're not going out to shoot streetscapes and you're not going out to have a bunch of yakitori in a smoky alley. But on the plus side, you do get to see something new and wonderful every single day and you do get to go to places that would be a pain in the neck to try to reach any other way. There are some definite advantages to traveling on a cruise ship. If you've never been to Japan before, I think this is a really good way to work out what you do or don't like about traveling in Japan. It's like a sampler. You get to see a whole bunch of different cultural things like different gardens and art galleries and museums and historical places. And you get to see what things in Japan you might like to come back and see later. The key to the experience on shore with these Japan trips is that they break everyone into smaller groups. So half the group will go and do like a nature walk and half the group will go and check out a gallery. That breaks it into smaller groups. You're no longer 100 people, you're now 50 people. And then they break that 50 people into two groups and you're down to 25. And it's just actually a really good way to feel like you're part of a smaller group. The extra bonus is that most days you actually get to have lunch on shore. You get to have Japanese food in a Japanese restaurant. You get to try the izakaya or the hot pot or the bit where you grill the meat on the grill and different kinds of things. As a photographer, one of the things I find really difficult, obviously, is you can't be exactly where you want to be whenever you want to be. You can't be on shore to pick a spot to shoot the sunrise because you're on a boat and you just don't have that freedom. And you just have to let go of that. That is one thing that is really different. And if you just don't think that that's going to work for you, you definitely shouldn't go on these cruises. The other thing that I find really surprising is that the schedule is so busy, it's actually really hard for me to get through my editing, processing my photos, having time to dig through and look what I shot through that day. Takes up most of my evening. There's so little time during the day that I can sit down with my laptop and just process photos. There's too much going on. One more consideration would be the time of year for the particular cruise that you might be talking about. Some of them start nice and early in the spring season. So it's kind of late winter, early spring, and you might get the cherry blossoms. And that's just really, really wonderful way to see Japan. And I love the cooler air, especially if you're traveling down south, because it gets really warm down south. So going in sort of March is just a really good time. You're getting into April, things are starting to warm up, but it's still not too hot yet. If you love the heat, then the summer ones in May and June are probably ideal for you. But if you like the cooler air, then I think something like March, April, or maybe at the other end of the spectrum, October, November, they would be good times to be in Japan. I want to take a deeper dive into some of the places that we traveled on this trip. And keep in mind that some days you get terrible weather and it's raining, and some days you get beautiful sunshine. In spring, the weather can be unsettled and, you know, you never quite know what you're going to get. And the day we went to Fuji, it was wet in the morning, and in the afternoon, the sun came out and we had beautiful views of the mountain, and it was just a really lovely afternoon. So you're going to get a mixed bag in terms of weather. Some days are better than others. One of my favorite days was in the city of Kochi, and Kochi is a small city on the southern coast of Shikoku, halfway between Osaka and Hiroshima. So it's in that sort of part of the Sea of Japan. But Kochi is on the ocean facing side. I had a really beautiful day in Kochi. The weather was really fantastic. The castle there is fantastic. There's a market there, and I wanted to share some of that experience. Our day in Kochi begins relatively early. We have a fairly short drive to get from where the bus is to get to a particular spot where the botanical gardens are on one side and some beautiful shrines are on the other side. We headed into the shrine first, the other group headed into the gardens first, and then we swap over. There is no shortage of beautiful shrines in Japan. They're all lovely. This one was especially beautiful. It had a lovely pagoda, and I love the way the pagodas kind of pop out of the forest. Like, these shrines and temples, they're nestled into nature. There's this connection between nature and the expression of religion. And the shrines, usually they're Shinto is what we're seeing. One of the guides explained it to me that when you're born, you are Shinto, but when you die, you are Buddhist. From an architectural point of view, from a photographic point of view, Shinto and Buddhism are the two things I dial into the most. That and delicious places to eat. We go to the shrine. It's just gorgeous. I could have spent 3 hours there if I had the chance. I think we had maybe 1 hour, and then we walk across and we have a little bit more time to explore the botanical garden. And in Kochi, it is a really beautiful botanical garden. There is a conservatory in there that is magnificent, and so many species of orchids and different plants that grow from the air and water lilies, and it was just really special. If you ever get a chance to go to Kochi, then I strongly recommend you do the botanical gardens there. And you've got a beautiful shrine that you can visit as well on the same stop. It's a pretty short drive back into town to get into the middle of Kochi. What is the name of the market in Kochi? Oh, hang on. It's on my photos. I name the photos with the places, and so that means I can find it. Hiromi Market. That's the one. I love the food experience in Japan, and places like Hiromi Market, Very special, very authentic. In Kochi, one of the special dishes that you can have is a seared bonito, and they sear it on the outside, still raw on the inside. Then they drizzle lemon or lime juice over the top, and that just gives it this acid and tang. Some people were having fried chicken karage. Some people were having fried oysters. There's a lot of deep fried oysters in this part of the world. And we were there for the Sunday market as well. So the streets outside of the food market, they're going off. And that's still not my favorite thing. My favorite thing in Kochi was to go to a little supermarket tucked behind the food market. And in there was a shelf that was floor to ceiling with all of the delicious drinks that you can buy made from yuzu in Kochi. The yuzu drinks were really the thing that I really liked. That was my big thing. I love yuzu, and Kochi is really great for yuzu. So I bought a bunch of yuzu flavored stuff that I could take back to the ship and share with some of the crew who didn't get a chance to go on shore that day. The next stop after lunch was Kochi Castle, and it is right next door to Hiromi Market. It is like a 100-meter walk from the market to start your trail up to the castle. Castles are a big deal in Japan. Most of them hark back to a specific period where Japan was still finding its unity, and Japan has a very complicated history. I am not the guy to talk about history. It goes in one ear and out the other. But I do remember that there's like 12 castles in Japan that weren't destroyed during World War II and weren't destroyed during other fires that happened before World War II. And there are 12 castles that are sort of intact still, that still are hundreds of years old, that are in their sort of original state, more or less. And the Kochi Castle is one of these. There's a lot going on in castle complexes. It's not just the actual castle keep itself, but the wider complex. They're surrounded by paths, and the paths never go in straight lines because it slows down anyone who's going to try to attack them. They have giant rock walls to help defend them and to make them difficult to access. You walk up a trail, you walk past lots of beautiful cherry blossoms and flowers and trees and gardens, and it's a great experience. Photography-wise, castles obviously are a strong subject. There's a lot going on. They're very beautiful. You are bringing in the gardens. You're bringing in the architecture. There are details in the architecture, and there's just a lot to photograph. So usually that would have been the sort of end of our Kochi photography, and we get back to the ship and you have a shower, you have this welcome drink, and you get to settle in as you're ready to shove off and leave the dock to be sailing at night. Guys in Kochi had one more little trick for us, and they had put on a little bit of a show. In Japan, there are certain traditional skills like the taiko drums and like the dancers who are doing their things with the parasols and fans and stuff like that, and the big giant flags that they're waving, and dance troupes, they train and they practice and they perform and they compete. And this happens all over Japan. And this particular style of dancing in Kochi is actually really popular, and they gave us a little send-off. I have seen bigger ones when I was doing a trip a couple of years ago, and we stopped into Kanazawa, which is on the northwestern side of Honshu Island. Kanazawa really makes a big deal about it. They go all out. So this is like a smaller version of Kanazawa, really. And it's just wonderful. It's a great expression of the local culture and how Japanese people love to just make you smile. So what are these gigs like? What is it like working on these ships as a photographer? I really enjoyed this gig. This was one of my favorite voyages with Heritage Expedition, because usually I'm there doing marketing photography and I'm running around like a blue ass fly, and I am just go, go, go. And I don't get that quality time with the passengers. I don't get to just experience what they're experiencing. And so this time I was the ship photographer, and my job was to collect photos to make a slideshow at the end of the voyage. This means I get to spend all day with a bunch of people and share what I love about Japan. I get to help them and I get to guide them as well. The photography on this sort of gig is very easy. I'm not running around trying to shoot everything. I'm trying to pick my moments when there's something that's really speaking to me and something that's beautiful. And I'm trying to capture pictures of our passengers enjoying this experience, because that's the thing. I want them to have a keepsake that's really special and really beautiful, and to treat them like they are special subjects. I get to be helpful to a bunch of people for 2 weeks, and that makes me feel really good. I should add, I worked with just a fantastic team of people. Every single crew member on this team were exceptional. They were great people. Everyone left their egos at the door. It was just a really good mob to work with. And I always get to work with lots of good people on these ships. When I go to the Kimberley, when I go to Antarctica, wherever we're going, there's always going to be really good people on it. There was just something about this group. I just really felt like we were a team. If you're thinking about doing some of these gigs as a photographer, I probably should warn you, the pay is terrible. Like, this is not a sustainable living. This is something you can do a little bit, and if you enjoy it, then it's fantastic and it's kind of a win-win. You're going to struggle to pay your mortgage with what you earn when you're working on a ship, but that's the whole point. You're working on a ship for that time. Your expenses are covered. You're not spending any money really. And on top of that, you get to take home a little bit of a paycheck. So pay's not great, but the experience is, and I felt really lucky just to be there, to be a part of that team. And on top of that, I do have a bunch of new photos from Japan. I finally have a decent photo of Mount Fuji that I really, really like. So that's a win. If you're wondering what gear I packed for this trip, then we should go through what was in my bag. And I had 3 cameras and 4 lenses. That's what I packed for this entire trip. 1 camera stayed on the boat, and that's got my wildlife lens on it. And the guys at Panasonic lent me a 100 to 500 mil telephoto lens, which I gotta say, this is a great lens. I have a video on using this for shooting birds. If you're thinking about an L mount lens, then this is really something that you wanna look at. So you might wanna check out that video if you are into birds. I wanted a camera and a lens that I could grab in the mornings and when we're off sailing to take photos of birds and take photos of other boats and scenery with a telephoto perspective when I'm on the ship. So that lens and camera didn't leave the ship for me. I leave it on shore because it's big and it's heavy, and that's not what I want to haul around the streets of Japan. So this is what I'm hauling around the streets of Japan. This is the little Lumix S9. If you don't know much about these cameras, what can I tell you? They are super small. It's full frame. This is a full frame camera. It is essentially a Lumix S5 Mark II shoved into a little tiny body. And I love these. I love the form factors. So I've gone out and I bought a second body because I need 2 bodies. That's how I work. So I have 2 of these, and you see it's so small, and that's your full frame sensor in there. And they're just very, very small. They're very easy to pack and travel with. And on there at the moment, I've got a 40mm f2 lens. It's by TT Artisan. And I think the retail price on that is $169 delivered. This is a great little lens. It's fast, it's small, and I have a lot of fun with this one. In the bag on this trip, I have 2 of the Lumix S9s, one with the 40mm, one with an 18mm, and I also have a 100mm macro shoved in there just for when I want a little bit of telephoto or when I want to take some close-ups of the cherry blossoms. Because on this trip, it was also sakura season. This is a wonderful time to be in Japan. Beautiful flowers every single day. We got to shoot cherry blossoms. Some days the light was better than others, so some of my photography is better than others, and it's a bit of a challenge. How do you take different photos of cherry blossoms day after day after day? That was my struggle. But one key to it is to have a really good macro lens. My standard kit these days is to have the 18, the 40, and a 100mm macro, and off I go. I thought I'd sneak in a few words about the ship. I've been very lucky to work aboard this particular ship with Heritage Expeditions. It is a very, very comfortable ship. The crew who do all the front of house and the hotel service and the restaurant, they are fantastic. They keep finding really good people to work on this ship, and they make such a difference to the overall experience. So it's a little bit luxury, it's a little bit bougie, but it's also a really practical ship. It's not so many people. It's 140 years max, and that feels like a lot to me because I used to work on ships with 50 people, but 140 passengers. The rooms are very spacious. There's a lot of room to explode your luggage and have your camera gear lying everywhere and just decide which bits you're going to take on that particular day. If you're like me, you probably bring gear you don't need, and that often just stays on the boat. And that's okay. You're not moving from one hotel to another. You're staying on the boat. A quick shout out to Heritage. I really love working with these guys, and I hope I'll get to do a few more voyages with them in the future. The question today was, does an expedition cruise around Japan work if you're a photographer? Is this a useful way to go and get shots? And I think one way you could rephrase it is to say, would I get better shots if I were to travel independently, if I'm not on a ship, but I'm simply arranging my own travel on land, my own hotels, my own transport, connecting up between things, getting my bags from here to there. And I am sure that if you just want to get the best shots of Japan possible, probably not do it on a ship, because you're missing out on the light at certain times of day and you're missing out on a certain flexibility. And if you just find a spot where you want to sit and shoot for 3 hours and screw the rest of the schedule, you can do that when you're traveling by yourself. That's just a very different experience. As a professional, if I'm shooting for a magazine and they want a bunch of stuff about Japan to run in their pages, probably wouldn't do it on a cruise ship. I would just go and plan my own travel and I would do that extra work. But if you're not shooting for a magazine, if you want to see Japan and enjoy some of your photography and you're not shooting for National Geographic, then these voyages represent a really good opportunity. They will take you to lots of really great places, and every day there's something worth shooting. And it doesn't mean you're there at the best time of day to take photos. But it doesn't mean you're not going to get great photos just because you're there at a different time of day. And something that I recognize as someone who's traveled independently in Japan a lot is that when I simply travel for myself, then sometimes I just get lazy. Sometimes I think, oh, well, I'm in this beautiful spot, but I'm kind of tired. So I'm just going to go and find a little coffee shop and maybe I'm going to have a chicken sando. We've kind of lost the morning. So, you know, maybe we won't get that shoot in the middle of Kyoto where we were going to go up to the trail. That's not going to happen because I got lazy. On these voyages, there's a schedule. There is just the schedule is there. You know what time you got to be up in the morning. And you do it because the schedule's there and someone gets you onto a bus and then suddenly you're in the middle of a beautiful botanical garden and you're ready to shoot. You are there. You're on the spot. You are inspired. You're in a beautiful place. I think there's a lot to be said for using these sort of voyages for photography. It just needs that different way of thinking. You can't be thinking about, I want to do what I want to do all the time. That's not what's going to happen on these trips. What's going to happen is you get opportunities and you don't always know how that's going to break. You don't always know how the weather's going to break. Like, you know, this is your one shot to go up Tokyo Tower and take some shots across Tokyo and it starts raining. And that's life, you know, that's cruising, babe. So I hope that's been useful for you and will give you an idea as to what you can achieve if you were to do a cruise in Japan, as to what you might want to pack if you're going to do that. I don't feel you need to pack everything. I'm not a get every single shot kind of guy. I know I like to have that wide angle lens. I know I like to have something that's between a 35 to a 50, either or even a 40 millimeter at the moment. I just pack simple and I go out there and I enjoy it. And Japan is a great place to do that. Thank you for joining me for this video. I hope that's been useful. I do have other videos from some of my previous travels to Japan, things like why I like a 35 millimeter lens and stuff like that. You can check out my channel and find some of those. Please do like and subscribe. And I hope to see you in another video sometime soon. Have a great day.